So some folks here, I mean, I do need to point out Jeff and Mary Norwich over there. I think they babysat for me. I certainly was in their youth group just a couple of years ago. Okay. So that's the longest standing relationship. Then I, in turn, babysat for this little chap on the front row here. So it kind of like, I know I just don't look old enough, but it's the case that I've been around a bit of a long time. And there is a theme for the weekend. Does anybody know, have you introduced a theme or not?
We'll see.
Does anybody know the theme for this weekend?
I'm the nose. She's good now.
Moving on.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like the theme's already started to come out, of course, hasn't it? Prophetically, and some of the songs and so on. So the first thing I want to do tonight is to change the title. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Go on.
Depends on what you're changing it to.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm changing it from moving on to...
Moving up.
Yeah.
Prophetic flower arranging. No. Actually, I am changing it from moving on. I'll tell you one reason why. I love quotes. I love kind of like trying to find quotes. And so I start going onto all these quote sites and things for moving on. Do you know what? It was one of the most negative lots of quotes I've ever read. They're like all about just life sucks, so move on. And like life hits you in the face, so move on. And life's just miserable, so move on. And it's all kind of like, I don't really know, I really want to spend all my time talking about that. The truth is, some of us do need to deal with some negative things. We do need to walk away from them, and we do need to move on from them. But I've decided to change the title to Moving Forward.
Okay.
Oh, I feel better already.
Yeah.
So my first quote, I think some of these quotes are great. They're mostly by the same person who's called Unknown. I think it's Mark Unknown. Moving on is a process. Moving forward is a choice. Why don't we break into small groups and discuss that right now? Actually, it says this. There's a slight difference between the two. Moving on is letting things happen. Moving forward is making things happen. So it's about making a choice. And so what I want to do, what Vanessa and I want to do this weekend, is really start to talk a little bit about not just sort of like dealing with what's there in the past and so on, although I think we do need to in some cases, but actually we'd rather be talking about moving forward. Okay? And it's something that is about an upward call in God for every one of us. So no matter where we are on our journey, and I started to think about journey, it's interesting that we've now had a picture already about moving and coming to a base camp, and yet actually re-equipping ourselves, getting rid of some things in order to move forward. Okay? Then I think there's a sense of that's what God wants for us this weekend. What I really would love is by the end of the weekend, every single person here was making a conscious choice to move forwards. Some of you need to leave some stuff behind, we've heard that already. But for some it's like I'm making a choice afresh today. You see, the Apostle Paul, he sometimes calls our life a journey, but actually one of his phrases that he likes the best, or his images, is a race. It's actually a race. Run the race. You know, come on and run it, which actually means with some sense of direction, focus, purpose, and run towards the end. And when he actually gets towards the end of his race, he says, I've run the race. I've fought the fight. I've kind of got to what I've done, all what you've called me to do, God. In other words, I've lived a fruitful and a full life. I don't know how many of you would like to say, when you get to the end of your race, I've run a fruitful and a full life.
Yeah.
I want to do that. There are things that would take you off track. There are things that would stall you. There are things that would cause you to go. So tonight we're talking just a little bit about desire to move forward. Okay? Desire to move forward. Tomorrow night we're going to do with dealing with obstacles. Get those things out of the way. And then on the Sunday morning, we're going to do with determining to make a difference. Do you see what I did there? So that's just really broadly where we're going. And so tonight really is just an introduction and so on. So my race began when I was born, but actually I became a follower of Jesus. Jeff and Mary were actually there. I can't spin any yarns to you at all. There's something
I can't embellish it, I can't make it any more than it is. They're just going to go, no, that's not Mark. You know?
But I was about 16, I think, and I was sort of really making my first choice to be a follower of Jesus. And I embarked on the race. And so I've been running my race. And I think, you know, we could talk lots about it. Nesta's just going to say a few words about that at the moment. But I'm now over here. In fact, it's slightly worrying that I'm kind of nearer there than there. You notice that because what you start doing is you start reminiscing quite a bit. You start remembering and talking about things back there a lot, you know. And you realise when you're doing these magazine tick the box of which category you're in, you run out of boxes. That's a little bit worrying. There's only one box left for me. So you kind of like, oh wow, I'm sort of further down here. And what you remember is that when you were back here, you were running the race with all sorts of thoughts and expectations, and some of them didn't turn out quite the way you thought. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. 2 days ago was the 21st of October. It was Back to the Future Day. Anybody aware of that?
Yeah.
So back there, and I think it was 89 or something like that, was it?
Right.
Check in, still awake. So there they were, and they're going like, well, by 2015, October, we are going to be hoverboard. Well, we're close, aren't we? Look at the
Wheel
stop.
No, you can get
hoverboards
now. They are.
I tell you what, why don't we just... You can get, all right, I've seen
those. No, they're not even wheelie ones.
Actual hoverboard.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, actually, I was surprised how much they got right.
Yeah.
Amazing number of things that actually they got it into the film. They sort of seen it there, and there was something they didn't get right. I actually think that's a lot about us and some of our lives. Is that we think that's what God's got for me. That's part of the race for me. That's where I'm going. And some of those things, I believe God is going to fulfil because He promised them. Some things aren't going to turn out the way you thought. Not quite going to be the way you thought. But I want to say this. Wherever you are on your race, tonight and this weekend is about determining and saying, as for me, I'm still prepared and giving myself to move forwards. Okay? It's about, I'm looking this way and I want to run this way and I go this way. When the Apostle Paul wrote, I'm going to read it in a few minutes, and he says, I am going to forget what's gone before, and I'm going to press on for what is ahead because I haven't yet reached it. Do you know where he was on his journey? He was like in prison waiting to die, and he's still saying, forget all that, I'm still going this way.
Yeah.
That's what they call him when he's doing running races. It says bursting the tape. Okay? You're actually running right through to the end. So whatever age you are, I don't know who's the oldest in the room. I'm not going to even try to attempt that. No. But it's like whatever stage of life, whether you're young, whether you're a new Christian, wherever you are, this is about saying, as for me, I'm about to move forward. Nesta, do you want to come and say something about...
Yeah, I really like that picture that Maddie brought earlier, because it's so true that we've all come to this point from different places and we've all come different ways, haven't we? And if we... had the time to tell each other our life journey, then we'd see just how different those journeys have been. And 38 years ago, I was a single girl living with Jeff and Mary in their house as a single girl. And I've moved on a bit from then. Now I live with Mark. We lived in Witney in those days, Witney in Oxfordshire. And life was comfortable, it was neat, we had a nice little house, nice little curtains, nice little carpets, nice little babies.
We were hobbits.
And And we were leading a house group in the church, and we enjoyed doing that. And then we were asked, would we take on a second house group, which felt like a big leap for us to be now be running two house groups and so on. And I think we would have stayed there had we not had an invitation to move up to Eastwood. We had no idea where it was. The day we drove up there to move there, somebody had to meet us in the lay-by to take us to the house that we bought. And we walked into the room. It was a little church of 30 people, and we brought a couple with us to help us move, and they looked at us and said, which one's Mark and which one's Nessa? Well, I'm Nessa, this is Mark, and we've come to lead the church. And that was quite an interesting stage of our journey, where we discovered all sorts of skills that we didn't have, and began to learn over the following few years. And then a few years later, by this time we've got some people coming over from Derby to worship with us, different groups coming together, and we ended up moving into Derby, forming a church out of these groups, and we've been leading that for about 30 years or so, growing with the church. It's grown to be quite a large church now, lots and lots of asylum seekers, or many of them becoming followers of Jesus, being baptised and so on. So that's all quite exciting. And yet God wasn't letting us settle there either. He wasn't letting us just, okay, let's make our home here and let's just remain here, because he had another role for us, which was a little bit further afield. So now we're travelling a little bit more. We're still based in this home church in Derby, but we're travelling a little bit more. And I just think, as we look back, as Mark said, the further you get along your journey, the further you have to look back over. And it's amazing how wise you become in hindsight. And you look back and you think, I think we should have done that way, and would have been better. We'd have saved ourselves a whole heap of trouble if we hadn't done that, hadn't been this or whatever. And there's been many challenges along the way, many disappointments where life didn't work out as we had hoped it would, where people we thought were going to be friends forever were not friends forever, and all sorts of things, they come along and they hurt you, they disappoint you, you feel let down sometimes. And yet, we know that God has been faithful all those years to us, and we're so grateful for that, and we're grateful that he took us through some of those difficult times, because he taught us how much we needed him in those difficult times, and he also gave us that opportunity to be able to help others who were going through similar things, because we said, well, we've walked that part of the journey too. We've been in a bit of jungle, we've been struggling, fighting off wild animals in the jungle, and this is what we learned, and these are the tools you can use to get through that particular stage of your journey. So we're very, very grateful that God keeps us moving on, and grateful that he teaches us through his love for us. And because he loves us so much, we can receive what it is he sends our way.
Great. So between us, Nestor and I, we're going to be sharing just a little bit more of that. Do you have Bibles at all? Do you do the Bibles? Do you have electronic devices with Bibles? Or do you just memorise the Bible? I understand that you're very, very spiritual people in this church. What I love about you as a church is that I just know it's true, that when somebody just says one thing to you, when they preach to you once, you remember it, you absolutely got it imprinted in your heart and your mind and your soul. So I want to remind you that I actually preached to you in January, and you'll remember which passage we used. So you can turn to that right now if you like. Oh, good try. It's Philippians 3, and I have to say, it's one of the most depressing statistics for any preacher, is that apparently most people have forgotten 90% of what they ever said by Sunday lunchtime, let alone by Monday, you know. But one hopes that somehow that the Word of God has an effect on our lives. So this is Philippians chapter 3. They are very famous verses, though I couldn't not go there really. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to cut it short a little bit. I'm going to read from verse 10. This is Paul, as I was describing you just a minute ago, on his journey. Verse 10. I want to know Christ. Can we just say that together? I want to know Christ. This is Paul, who's been an apostle, been following Jesus all these years, and this is his declaration. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amazing verses, as I say, particularly when you bear in mind Paul is in prison and he's about to die. For him to say, I'm straining still for all that's ahead, is absolutely incredible. And I just think it just says something to all of us. I draw two things from that, which I just want to refer to tonight. Two things. And that's my own commitments. What do I want? And I've said this in other places. Actually, here's one thing is my big, if you like, choice. I want to know Christ. I want to be found in him. I want to be, if you like, I want to become more like him. He's one of our most famous preachers, some of you won't have heard of him, some of you will, of my lifetime. He's called John Stott. He's a great giant of a Christian man in this country. And he died a couple of years ago, but obviously before he died, he preached his last sermon. That's the way you do it, that order usually. He preached his last sermon. He always knew it was going to be his last sermon. It was in a camp called Keswick Convention. And it was, yeah, everybody wanted to be there. John Stott's last sermon. What is he going to preach on? He stood up and he said, all that I know, all that I've understood, everything that I have studied, all that I know of God, I think this is our reason for being here. To become like Jesus. Well, to become Christ-like. So why can we not say we've not got there yet? The goal hasn't yet been achieved. We haven't fully obtained it all yet. Because we haven't yet fully done it. And so one of my goals is I would like to be found in Christ. One of the reasons I say that is because some people who set off with me back then are not found in Christ today. Some have fallen away. But for me, I'm going, God, I want to be found in Christ. And that doesn't just mean I'm still a Christian. I'm still hanging in there. It actually means that there's something in my life which reflects Christ-likeness. Hello? That means our journey, our race, is about becoming not just a better Christian, but more Christ-like. You know, I found this, this is from an old missionary journal from a long time ago. I just loved it. I don't know if I... Anyway, I'll give it anyway. It says this, a traveller to China asked a local if he had ever read the gospel. No was the answer. But I have seen it. I have seen a man who was the terror of the neighbourhood, with his curses and his violent temper. He was an opium smoker, a criminal, and he was as dangerous as a wild beast. But the religion of Jesus has made him gentle and good, and has left him off opium. No, I have not read the gospel, but I have seen it, and it is good. Do you think that's good? That's powerful, isn't it? And that's like an old story, and yet it captures me afresh today. And it goes like, actually, the testimony of Jesus is a changed life. Mm-hmm. It's a life that says I'm becoming a bit more like him. What does that mean? It means I still do things wrong, of course it all that, but actually my journey, my goal is to press on it in, to become more like Jesus. That's our first one, okay? My second one that I take from this as part of my goal is to fulfil that for which he's called me. Mm-hmm. That. And there's something individual for all of us. Because Jesus says, come on. You know, I'm kind of not just getting you saved so you can be a Christian. I'm recruiting you. I'm bringing you in for that. For that. And Paul says, there's that I want to take hold of. For that reason that you separated me, pulled me aside and called me. That's like somebody saying to you, I'm taking you on for a job. I want you to come and do this job. And you say, well, that's great. I quite like doing this and that and the other and the other and the other. And he said, no, actually I've got you here for that. Now that is a lifelong journey that we are after, I believe. God, what is the that you've called me to? And the further on you get, the more I think you're a bit clearer about it. But it is always something I think worth pursuing and we want to be after. My desire is to move forward. Now, quote number two. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are. Oh, I think these are so profound. Like, you know, actually, I think some of them are so kind of like so basic sometimes that you say, if Mark said that, you go trivial. But because I'm going to say a quote in a minute, and on the end of it, it says Einstein, you'll go, wonderful. You know, this is another one from unknown. Anyway, first step towards getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are. So that's a choice, is to say, I'm here, and frankly, I could not just unpack my stuff for the weekend, but I could settle down and this is it. I'm just going to stay here. Thank you very much. I'm still a Christian, hope I'm going to get to heaven. That's the job done. But actually, I believe God's calling us forward. So what do we need to move forwards? I believe three things. Number one, we have to have some sort of desire to fulfill our potential in life. That God's called you for. Every one of us different. But I have to have some deep desire to say, I'm not yet fulfilled all that God's put in me, for me, or through me. Some of us get stalled very early. Some of us get up here, and some even get to the point where actually quite successful, and that can be one of the worst places to be. You go, I think I'm just going to stop here. I love being around. One of the things I wanted to provoke you with over the weekend is, who do you hang out with? Who do you listen to? Because I like hanging out with or listening to people who just don't seem to want to stop. John Kirkby, we were with yesterday, day before yesterday. John Kirkby, you may not have heard of him. He started something called CAP, Christians Against Poverty. Mm-hmm. And he's like just a guy. And he's gone like, when I started off, I was here. We thought if we could change a few people's lives by helping with debt counselling, that would be wonderful. And then we got, do you know what, if we could get a CAP centre going, which would do that, then that would be brilliant. If we could get 100 CAP centres, wouldn't that be absolutely out? And of course, the journey has just gone and gone like this. Now they are on over 300 CAP centres all over the UK and now around the world. And they're expecting by 2020 to have 1,000 CAP centres. What I love about hanging out with people like them is there is no ceiling to them. Mm-hmm. There's no stopping where they are. Even though it's successful, it's like, God, there's still yet more that we've got to go and fulfil. Desire to fulfil our potential. Secondly, I think there's a, you need to get this, a willingness to be shaped.
Oh.
A willingness to be shaped. If we actually go back to the running the race analogy, any good athlete is prepared to put themselves through some kinds of discipline, accountabilities and all those kind of things in order that they can run the race well. I have to try and leave it as a little bit of a challenge to us. We'll come back to it and say, are you willing to be shaped? Are you willing to let anybody just kind of speak into your life? Are you willing to let others come around and invite them in? Is there some kind of openness for that kind of thing? And then the third thing, I think, is that is a willingness to learn from our lives. That means basically learn, as Nesta was just saying, learn from the things that have happened to us, learn from the things that we have done and haven't done, learn from our mistakes. If ever I do write a book, which I won't, it is going to be called Mistakes What I Have Made, Volume 1. Because it'll be quite big. Because, as we all know, some of life's most learning experiences are the mistakes we make. Mm-hmm. And I could delight you with some great stories. I might even tomorrow sometime, you know. Didn't push me too hard. There's a saying that goes, to err is human, to forgive is... Does anybody know this one? Err is human, to forgive is divine. And it goes on, to repeat it is stupid. It's a little add-on that somebody's done. Okay? But it is like, you either live and learn, or you just live. And one of the things I think about being someone who I think is as a follower of Jesus, actually we want to learn from life. We want to be one who treats life as a learner. Okay, finishing now. What I said to you in January, which you'll have clearly in your minds and you'll remember clearly, I said there's four ways that you could move on and or move forward. Okay, one is geographical. There are times when it's a geographical move in order for someone to move forward. I just want to rebuke that one that you've got there.
It's alright.
I'm just reflecting what they felt. But there you go, there may be times. There are times when in order to move forward there is a geographical move. Sorry about that. They're going to church plant. Is that right? Is it okay to say that? Am I just shocked? don't do that to me, Mark. But they're going to be part of a church plant in Leeds. And why are we interested in that? We're interested because we care about them.
Yeah.
Because our son is also going to join that. And his family are going to join that church plant. So it's all kind of interesting. Because I think God's weaving his wonderful plan together. It isn't always our plan.
No.
But you know, sometimes geographical moves are in God. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes people just try to run away from God. Mm-hmm. And you have to know the difference. Yes. But sometimes. We've got people in our church who said to them, over the last 2 years, we must have had a dozen at least people who've said, in order for me to move on, move forward in God, I need to go to Bangladesh. I need to go to Somalia. I need to go to Kazakhstan. So we have people moving out because that's how they move forward in God. It isn't for everybody, but it is for some. Secondly, there's emotionally moving on. Okay? That could be true for some of us. We get stuck at some points. Things happen, as we've said, and we can get just stuck. And there comes a time when we do have to say, look at one another and go, come on, it's time to move forward now. Move from that. Move on. Okay, dodgy one. I'm going to throw it out though anyway. To move on theologically. Mm-hmm. So that's geographically, emotionally, theologically.
Ooh.
What does that mean? Does that mean, I think it means this, that if we ever think that we've got it all, that we know it, that we've got God, and we understand everything there, I think we are deceiving ourselves. So, let me be clear about this. We need to be absolutely clear about what we're really clear on. We need to be sure of the foundation. That's what the Apostles' Creed is all about. That's why we have those things which we stand on. But if we think we understand everything, there was a time when our theology, we're back here now, Dr. Mary here, okay, when there was no such thing that we could understand, even though we read the same Bible, that was to do with baptism in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't there. We didn't see it. We didn't know. And then somehow or another, we came into something and it changed our theology. And so, I just want us to be open to the fact that God can continue to enlarge and enhance us. Okay. And then fourthly, and final one, is moving on spiritually. Moving on spiritually, which is really what we're about. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. You think that was Homer Simpson, didn't you? That was Albert Einstein. True it was. God's got a plan and a purpose. There's a that for each one of us. There's something that he wants us to collectively to respond to as well. Wherever you are on your journey, I've got a guy who is my coach. So I've got a leadership coach. Okay, he's a friend of mine, and he's been a wonderful help to me. I didn't used to believe in coaches at all, but he's just been terrific help over some years. Last December, he was out running, actually. He's about 50-something. He was out running, and he had a massive stroke. He was out running in country lanes. And he collapsed and fell into a hedge. And it's one of these awful situations where nobody would see him. Nobody knew he was there, and nobody knew where he was at all or anything. And he was in a hedge. He looked to stay and whatever. He managed to pull himself back out after he doesn't know how long, and tried to find the nearest place. He had no idea how long he was, but he found a cottage. And of course, you can imagine it, can't you? Your worst nightmare. He comes to the cottage door. He's banging on the door. He looks a state. He can't speak. And he scares the people in the cottage with this. They slam the door, send him away. He staggers off down the lane again, has a second stroke, okay, and collapses into a ditch. Eventually, some passerby sees him, finds him, and eventually the ambulance is called, and he doesn't remember any of this. He gets into the hospital, and they call the family because they just think he's going to die. Clearly he's just so far gone. And today, this is a year later, he's my coach again. And he's functioning like, I'd say, at 98%
right.
of what he was. And what he'll tell you, and he'll tell me, and the tears will come in his eyes, even though I've never seen him cry at all before, you know, tears will come in his eyes. He'll say, what happened to me at that time, I will never forget. He said, God took me in that moment, into, and he says, all I can do is describe it like an arena. It was a huge arena. And he said, and I was going through with lots of people onto the centre of the arena, off the field, if you like. And he said, and clearly it was, this is your time. Your time's come, you know. And he said, and someone was coming along, beginning to send people this way. He says, and it was Jesus. And he was just sending people this way. Well done, good and faithful servant, over there, over here. And he said, and he came to him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, not finished yet. Not finished yet. And he walked him back out through one of the entrances out there. I did, I'm crying. But he couldn't tell me that. He wants to tell me it again and again. He said, because it's given me meaning, such a sense of fresh meaning for my life. Is that Jesus has said, not finished yet. So now he's looking everywhere to say, what is it, Lord? What do you want me to do with my life? Because I was there and you brought me back. And I believe there's a sense of meaning and purpose in this. God's got purpose and meaning. What he wants for us is the desire to say, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to run it with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, straining for what's ahead, forgetting what's gone behind, good or bad, doesn't really matter in some way, but reaching for that which God has called me forward so that I can be found in Christ. Mm-hmm. Anybody with us on that one?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know every story in this room. I don't know every person's journey. I don't know their race. But Lord, you do.
Yeah.
And I want to pray that over these couple of days, Lord, you would grab every single heart here. Lord, every heart, I pray. Youngest, old to the oldest. And Lord, that you would take hold of us. And again, Lord, you give us something fresh that would say, as for me and my house, like Joshua said, I'm going to serve you, Lord. And Lord, I pray desire to not stay where we are, but to move forward, would rise in all of us, I pray. Stir us by your Spirit, I pray, Lord. Let us provoke one another in you, Lord. And Lord, we do say together, we want to find that you've set us aside for. And we want to be found in you, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Brilliant. What a great kick-off. We're going to finish.